Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, and a treat today, I am going to be joined by couples therapist Dr. David Sanford, one of the originators of Darn Guys, along with Hughes and myself, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully, putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. Hughes and Dr. Mark Kiefner of Dr. Mark Kiefner and A Minute on the Mind are off today because of the holiday. But boy, do we have a treat here in having David with us. And let's welcome him to the show right now. Hello, David.
Thank you, Brother Weaver. And good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning
to
you.
Here I am, the totally wayward one.
Yes, folks, indeed.
Folks out there in Radio Land, I have to start off with a confession. I mean, I think that's a good way to begin, always.
Yes, always.
The thing I got to say is that I was outside watering my lawn. And I know this is not a good start, but
it's not a good start, David. It's not a good start.
And Brother Weaver on the telephone basically said, "Where the hell are you?"
Yeah.
So here I am.
Yeah. I had my doubts, but I'm very relieved, very excited, very happy that you're here with us. So you've been gone for quite some time. We've been hinting that you would be here and promising that you would be here, and finally we're able to.
One thing that I have to forgive. I mean, I have to apologize for.
Yeah, but no, you don't have to apologize for it. You were doing something important and special. You were down in Mexico working on your book, and
I was.
Yeah. Apparently, that's coming along really well, right?
It is coming along nicely. In fact, the first run through of the last chapter might very well be finished today.
Wow. Boy, that's
unless
exciting.
I have additional distractions.
Yeah. it'll probably take
Sorry,
you a while.
Folks.
Yeah. It'll probably take you a while to come down from the excitement of this show. So I don't know how much work you can get done today.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
Yeah. Well, say something about the book. What is the book and that you've been working on?
Well, the book should have a program to itself. In fact, it should have a whole series of programs to itself, which maybe someday.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to give you a little lead up.
I know that. And I'm going to take that lead.
All right.
The book is about loving your partner, but not the kind of love that it has to do with feelings, so to speak, rushes of emotion and so forth, but the love that's behavior.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the book is about doing love to the person that you're committed to or married to. Uh-huh. How do you do that? Where do you get the love from that you're going to be sharing with somebody else? Hmm?
Yeah, that does sound like a great book, and it could be, you know, some really good darn guy shows. So I can't wait to get to talking about that. But we better not get into that, or we won't have time to talk about today's topic.
Yeah.
Right, which is counseling versus coaching.
Counseling compared to coaching, yes.
I like versus because I like conflict. I might need some coaching on that.
I just don't know what to say to that, Jim. That's such a sort of on the radio confession kind of.
Yeah,
but I guess it's true.
I
mean, I know you as a sort of genially conflict person.
Yeah.
I think
conflict is one of the sources of great creativity and great advancement. So we need some of it, but not conflict that's damaging or hurtful or destructive. And that's the kind of versus I was talking about here with counseling versus coaching. So you've got some ideas about that. What do you want to?
I do, and in fact, you know, here's an approach to that. Since you're a lover of conflict, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but we could. I could sort of say a little bit about coaching and kind of represent the coaching point of view. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I mean, if you're really intent on conflict, you could.
I'm intent, you, man. Intent.
You could speak for counsel. Well, actually, I think that's a little fake because there is a difference between the two,
right.
I think, although
right.
they tend often to shade into each other.
Right.
But there is a difference between the two, and I can say a little bit about that difference if you want me to.
Yeah, I do. I think both of them have their place, so we'll talk about, where they're more appropriate or where they're less appropriate or where, what people should be looking for if they've got certain kinds of issues. So go ahead with what you want to lead in with that, and then we'll let it flow from there.
Okay. Coaching, I think, is an apt topic for several reasons. One is that I think more and more people who are interested in change, in changing themselves, are drawn to coaching now. I have no statistics as to, whether the counseling field is sort of losing out to coaching or anything of that sort. But I do.
So you're just making this up out of your head. You have no statistics.
You see what I? There it is.
There's the conflict.
really trying here.
You really. And well, I think
can barely. I haven't even said anything yet, Brother
That's
Weaver.
True. That's true. now you probably are remembering why you were here earlier.
Yes. It's more. Hosing down the lawn is a very, very peaceful. Very peaceful endeavor, I mean, you're happy in the sun doing it. One is, myself. And the grass loves it, It's okay. Okay, coaching and counseling. One way, so as I was starting to say, coaching is growing in popularity. People obviously use coaching for all sorts of things. When many people think of coaching, they begin with the coach, who's a football coach or a baseball coach or something of that sort. Or they traditionally think of finding a coach who can help them with their golf swing or their tennis game or something of that sort. And I think it's good to have those uses of coaching in the background because it really says something about what coaching does. Even though in this case we're talking about psychological coaching or relationship coaching or personal coaching.
My sense is, you may know more about the history of this than I do, but my sense is that this started out as executive coaching or in the business world as helping people be more effective in their jobs. Is that correct or am I?
That's my sense of it as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So
and now it's branched out into sort of lots of, like you say, relationship, interpersonal areas and some kinds of goals that you want to attain for your personal life.
Right. And what ties those different uses together is first the emphasis on goals,
right.
on there being something, usually something in the future, that the person who goes for coaching wants to reach or achieve. And right. the other part of it is an urgency about that. You usually don't sign up for coaching unless there is a definite degree of urgency about changing something.
Mm-hmm.
So one way, a very crude way of contrasting coaching and counseling is that in my experience, many people come for counseling and the counselor or therapist asks, why are you here? What do you want? And the answer in my experience, fairly frequently is, I want to understand why I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to understand why I can't be happier, why I can't get the job that I want, or why I can't seem to stay married,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. The coaching asks, or somebody who comes for coaching asks a very different question, and that's a how question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how I can succeed better at my marriage.
Right.
I want to know how I can be more focused at work.
Do you find that people come in coming into your office to see you, and they don't know what they want? You don't know whether they're coming in for coaching or counseling until you talk with them and figure out what they want. They come in wanting to understand themselves better, and they're pretty clear about that, some people. And then other people come in and they're really wanting to change some situation pretty directly, not so much interested in the introspection and why they do it, et cetera, et cetera. And that you have to shift, and actually having a coaching perspective helps you to be more effective in handling that client when they come in, because you know there are two different aspects to that.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, the people who generally come in asking for coaching have done some reading on the subject, or they have a friend or family member or whatever who's been in coaching.
Right.
And if somebody doesn't come with coaching in mind, then I think that there are ways to probably know fairly quickly which is more appropriate for them. And that has to... Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, only coughing.
Yes. A little bit of a cold here on Memorial Day.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
nothing to do with it being Memorial Day, probably. But...
I don't think so.
No. Should I just continue on?
Or please.
Would you like to prod me in a direction?
No prodding.
No prodding. Okay. And also in my experience, coaching deals with problems differently than therapy often does.
Mm-hmm.
The focus of the work in coaching is not the problem. The why can't I and sort of questions. It's not the problem. The problem is not the center of the whole thing. The goal, the destination, is what wants to be changed or gained is the focus. And given that difference, problems are looked upon as obstacles. And this is me talking about the way I work. But
I was hoping it was you talking.
It is me talking. There's no disagreement about that. Whether I was like referring to the literature, or just the way I work.
I see.
Okay. Do you? I don't know if you do.
Okay. I do, actually, yes.
So, I don't know. I bet it's fairly typical of therapists to start a session. Start maybe with what do you want to work on today, or how's it been for you, or whatever. And then to find the client, the patient, responding with, well, we had one big fight in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay, meaning that such a client assumes that what we're going to talk about is the one fight we had in the last 2 weeks, not the 13 utterly peaceful days. Coaching is much more positive in its orientation, and problems are generally not brought up or focused on unless clearly there they are, like a great big boulder in the middle of the road, and you don't lose sight of where you want to get, and there's the boulder in the middle of the road, and you got to do something about it.
Right. There's a sense that it's helpful to focus on solutions, and
yeah,
to be kind of doing direct kinds of things. I think where the coach or the coachee who's going for coaching may get to a point at times where they have trouble implementing those suggestions. They have trouble getting to the point of actually
right.
putting them into effect. There's some way in which they're not able to do it, or they're self-sabotaging or whatever. And that's
right.
a place where you then need to say, okay, maybe we need to see some underlying things. The boulder in the middle of the road, as you were making the metaphor, is actually something internal, some internal resistance.
And that's the
focus of counseling, is to talk about that resistance and how you get around, through, over, under that resistance.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But as I would say that there's no incompatibility between that and, let's say, a counseling oriented coaching, if we can name
right.
something that way.
Right.
Go ahead.
But it does bring up a question in terms of someone who doesn't have a counseling background, who just has a coaching background, and what they do with that. Do they refer it out? Do they discuss that with the client? And I think, with counseling or coaching or anything else, you as the consumer of that need to say, okay, am I getting what I need? Is this helping me? Because I think counseling sometimes can focus too much on the why and not enough on the how. And so you're not getting enough done for your satisfaction. Or the other side, you focus too much on the how, which is great if you can get it done. But when you can't get it done, you got to say, okay, I need something in addition to this to get me past these boulders or roadblocks.
Yes. If dealing and very frequently dealing with the roadblock in a cases such as what you said are going to require going back into the past and
right.
One's sense of oneself and what permission can be given or not. But I think you're making a larger point here, which is that coaching or the training in coaching assumes a psychologically healthy or fairly healthy client. And somebody
right.
who's trained only as a coach is not really equipped to deal with the kinds of psychological issues which therapists and counselors routinely deal with.
I'll take a little bit of exception, getting to conflict. I'll take a little bit of exception of your characterization of healthy, because I think there are basically healthy people who come in and are blocked about getting something done that need more than focus on present, focus on goals, those kinds of things. They can be relatively healthy. I wouldn't want people to get the impression that you should only go to counseling if you're unhealthy. Because there are lots of ways in which counseling and exploring some of those issues can be helpful to a very healthy person. I want to also bring up another area in terms of counseling focusing on the past. A lot of my background is in Gestalt, which is in the present and the here and now. It's a depth therapy, but it's focused in the moment and going deeper in the moment. And there's a lot of techniques with that, a lot of training with that, but it doesn't mean that you need to necessarily go into the past. I think Gestalt therapy was one of the reactions to psychoanalytic therapy that stayed so focused in the past and didn't seem to bring it up to the present. And there was a lot of insight and sometimes not change. So it was a corrective in that area.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And in reality, I think that in the area of personal change, relationship change, the differences between coaching and counseling are relatively minor. I mean, if people come in and clearly they want to work on their relationship, they come for counseling, and they are willing to agree or come close to agree on the image that they have of a happy relationship, then the work that's going to be done is very coaching-like.
Yeah.
Because they're in touch with the goal to begin with.
Right. Right. Although
go ahead.
I was just going to say I found with couples that sometimes you can explore or bring into the present some resistance that clearly is tied to early experience. And that can move the work. You know, okay, you're trying this, it's not working. Doing the same old thing. We've had this homework, done these things, and so forth, but still not happening. I'm wondering if it isn't related to something very painful from the past, or difficult from the past, or a pattern you got into because your family was difficult, dysfunctional, etc. David.
Yeah.
We're
James.
Almost out of time. Can you believe it?
Oh, my heavens, lad. My God.
I know. We've just been sailing along here. I've got so much more to say. I've got more questions.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, the lawn calls and it's...
Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking time out from your lawn to join us this morning.
So trivial.
Yeah,
yes.
but you're gonna be here on a pretty regular basis now. You're back in town.
I am.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Since I was one of the original trio,
yeah.
I think it's I got to get caught up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to have you back.
I'm happy.
We had great fun this morning. I hope our listeners had fun. So I'm going to play your daughter Megan's song, Take Us Away, to take us out of here and take us away.
Do we know what our topic is before you bring Megan on?
We don't,
actually.
We don't. We don't.
Okay. We'll find out in time, won't we?
I hope people are tuning in who really like surprises. So we'll surprise them. Tune into the website, darnguys.com, and you'll see what's coming up next as soon as we know what's coming up next. So, David, have a great rest of the Memorial Day weekend. I think your lawn will be the better for it. And I'll see you next week.
Very good.
All right. Bye-bye.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you for phoning me, dragging me in from the outdoors.
Yes.
See you
bye-bye.
Next week. Bye.